Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Okay, coming live from the Quicken Loans Studios. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, rolling along as we move toward the NFL draft, obviously tomorrow. And the wheels will be cranking out some rumblings and some more industry innuendo. You got to sort through the nonsense. Trust your sources. Hang in there, Teak. And we are almost at the stage with the commish.
And the idea really is don't listen to anybody because nobody really knows what they're talking about. Except us. Except for us.
Listen,
we know exactly what we're talking about. But everybody else you hear, they're just guessing.
I hear you. We'll find out what Derwin James is all about. The Florida State safety is going to join us later on today. Also inbounds, out of bounds, a lot of basketball. Mm-hmm. But, Teak, I know that you are as intrigued as I am.
Very.
With this NCAA. This is unbelievable.
Yep.
The NCAA Commission released the recommendations. Of course, Condoleezza Rice is the chairperson. David Robinson's on this. Mm-hmm. All sorts of sweeping reforms from transfers to, you know, the one and done, which obviously we'll spend a lot of time on, to agent relationships, to monetizing players' likeness. This is a huge story. And quite frankly, I'm pretty pumped up about this.
I'm liking what I'm reading as well, because Condoleezza Rice said this. Secretary of State Rice, I guess we still call her Secretary Rice because she was Secretary of State Rice. But one of the most profound things that she said is the current sad state, this is her quote, of college basketball did not appear overnight. And that is such a simple statement, but so profound because we've been we've been punting this thing down the road for months and years and never addressed it. If we want to criticize Mark Emmert a lot, we always do, and some of it is deserved. But just the fact that he put this commission together, and it was Secretary of State Rice, it was other commissioners from around the conferences, and Grant Hill and David Robinson, as BT mentioned. Yeah. I am so happy that he did this, mm-hmm. and more importantly, that it seems like they're actually going to take these recommendations to heart, apply them, and most importantly, reach out to the NBA and the NBA play and the NBPA, National Basketball Players Association, and get some change, right? Because it's needed. It's been needed for a long time. The one thing that they tabled, which I can't wait for them to figure out, because this is what I've always harped on, is the name, image, and likeness situation going on in college basketball, really college sports, because it's in a court case right now.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to make a recommendation until there's a legal precedent
set.
Which
is smart.
Which is absolutely
smart.
Stay
in your lane.
But God, man, this is the one that has never made any sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
If you are an individual brand, if Brandon Tierney is a star baseball player at LSU and you decide to start a band.
Oh, I like this make-believe world, by the way.
And it's just
keep
awesome.
It coming.
You
don't
guys,
stop there.
You
keep
guys
going.
Just start crushing. You're playing in like some stupid bar. Seriously.
There we go.
Like Dave Matthews. And the next thing you know, you're raking in some money with some albums.
Life is good.
It's illegal.
Yeah.
You lose your scholarship.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, once they figure that out, that's the one that gets me. Because it makes this the way it's currently stated makes you get pigeonholed into being an athlete.
Yep.
And very few really good athletes are just really good athletes.
It's funny what you gravitated to and what I gravitated to a little bit more. The quote that really jumped out to me, our focus has been to, pardon me, we need to put the college back in college basketball.
Great point.
It's just direct. It's succinct. Mm-hmm. It's all encompassing. It's absolutely muddy. And what bothers me about the NCAA, and it's a long list here, but just to kind of condense it for you. You know, in the NFL, if you fail the drug test, you know what the penalty is.
Yep.
In baseball, whether it's in the minors or you're playing for the Yankees, the Red Sox, or the Dodgers, you get pinched for PEDs. Here's the penalty, X, Y, and Z.
Yep.
If you do it again, here's the penalty. Clearly defined terminology, nothing nebulous, no like, well, let's see what happens. let's self-report sanctions, and let's do this. And maybe the NCAA this year feels this way, but 3 years from now, they feel that way. Here's the penalty. All right. And what I love about this is that they are talking about the death penalty, which would, you know, I feel you on the monetization of likeness, and that's a totally different conversation.
Yep.
And it's a good one, and it's a smart one, and it's an important one. But when I think of college sports, I think of you know, integrity. I think of rivalries. I just think of all the things that sucked me in as a young kid in Brooklyn growing up that love sports, love college sports. And if you're able to preemptively dissuade coaches, right, from doing whatever they do or having people do whatever they do or having people who have people who do whatever they do
program.
Yeah,
can I get 4 degrees of separation so I can deny that I had any knowledge, please?
Correct. But if it's written out there and it is, you know, implemented and it's a law and it's a rule, however you want to position it, that if you actually do this, you are gone.
Gone.
You cannot come up with a stronger motivation to do things the right way. It would, I think... would result in, call me naive, it would result in a complete recalibration of the system, which is broken.
Now, a lot of this is not the schools that would be given a death penalty. It would be the coaches.
Correct.
Right? The coaches are done. If they do something that's a major violation, level one violation, what they call it, then you have no ability to be a coach in college basketball ever again. Go find something else to do.
Yep.
You want to cheat? Go do it somewhere else.
Go coach the AAU team. Yeah. That's okay to cheat there.
Go international. You know, go to Lithuania with the Balls.
Be David Blatt's assistant, although he might come back to the States at some point. He should.
You know, the Balls, didn't they say they're not going to play over there anymore?
I haven't paid attention to a word that they've said in about a month or so because thank God they haven't said much.
I know. I think Samter.
That's what happens when you average 5 points a game.
I think Samter put it into the blast. The other thing, which obviously we get to at the end of the show, the other thing to look at here is the recommendation about the one and done rule and how to get rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
And because we can easily see that it is a bane on colleges. In some ways, it's a bane on the NBA because you end up having to draft these kids off of their potential.
That's right.
Which is a dirty word in sports because potential often is not realized, and these kids get drafted and they amount to nothing. So you've wasted an opportunity to better your team. Kids, the other side of this is that the kids should be given the ability. These are just the recommendations to date. And the NFL, the NBA Players Association, and the NBA are taking them into consideration. The other thing is allowing kids to declare for the draft, but then if they don't get drafted, they come back, which makes sense.
Mm-hmm. I love that one.
Yeah.
Teague, I got to tell you, I'm not going through this, but doing the St. John's games, there's a kid, obviously very good, Shamari Pons.
Yeah, of course.
Remember, he just destroyed Duke.
Most certainly.
And when they beat Villanova down in Philly. He's put his name in for the draft, hasn't hired an agent, right? I mean, personally, not just for St. John's, I don't think he's NBA ready.
Mm-hmm.
But if somebody's going to give you, even if it's a second-round guarantee, $600,000, $800,000 on a two-year deal, help your family, who the hell might I say don't take it?
Yep.
You take it. But the problem with, which is why I love this rule, because somebody like Shamari, and there's a million Shamari Ponses in the world over the years in all sports, you get such poor information from people who believe that they've got juice and that they've got personnel connections that they feed you, even if it's not intentional, erroneous, you know, and they give you an erroneous interpretation of the landscape out there.
You're right.
And the harm and the damage is irreparable. If forget about Shamari for a moment.
Yeah, DiVincenzo's another one.
Yeah, DiVincenzo from Villanova.
Villanova.
I mean, like, there's a million of them. Now, I actually think he could go in the first round. I think he could. But
he hasn't hired an agent.
He hasn't yet.
If he doesn't, he goes back.
He can. And it allows the young man, or woman, I guess, if this happens in the WNBA as well, to continue your education, to continue to grow, because, yes, there's the academic aspect of college that is vital.
Mm-hmm.
But there's the interpersonal interaction and learning how to fend for yourself and being a mature adult and being on time and getting up. And, you know, if you have a class or an interview, you got to have something to wear. You got to have your shirt ironed. Little things that you don't even think about because you don't find it on a laptop or a textbook old days.
It
but that stuff is vital.
Of course it is.
And if you can bring that kid who got fed bad information, but then it's corrected once we actually find out that they're not drafted and they could go back to school, what a win.
But you know what else comes out of that? It's a side, I don't know, cause of declaring and then not getting drafted and then having to come back to school. Mm. You get humbled a little bit. You know what I mean?
A little bit.
So it's bit. Like you think that I'm going to be great. I view myself this way. My team, my coach, my local media, my mom, dad, whoever, friends, they view me this way, and they think go to the pros, man. You could do it. Make the jump now. Go get paid, and then you get the evaluation, or you come to draft day, and they're like, yeah, you're just not good enough.
Mm-hmm.
It humbles you a little bit. It makes you maybe have to work a little bit harder, and that harder work gets channeled back into the college, right? It doesn't get channeled into the G League or, playing in Europe or wherever else sure. these guys fall to or fall away to and never get seen again. It gets the benefit is realized by whatever university they went to. I think it won't be a big, heavily talked about topic, but that's a big thing, man. Being humbled is one of the greatest motivators in life, specifically in sport, because you've been told that you're the greatest thing since you were young. But then all of a sudden, what happens when you're not? And in the highest order in the land, that is the NBA, tells you you're not, it makes you work harder, I think.
I was just pulling up this quote. I read this morning. And again, this Shamari said this, but mm-hmm. this could be said, and it has been uttered by so, and more importantly, thought about, and almost as a burden by mm-hmm. so many young men. Here's the quote, all right? It's a hard decision right now. It's probably 60-40 that I'm going to stay in the draft. It's a decision that could set me and my family up for life. We're not the wealthiest. Now, we're not poor, and he's not. I know that's for a fact. We're not poor, but I could move me and my family out of the projects and put my brother and sister in good positions for life.
Wow.
Now that's a heavy burden.
Of course.
And he didn't go to like prep school. He went from high school at age 17 right to college. He's a true sophomore, all right? I mean, should any 18 or 19-year-old kid that comes from, and his situation's actually better than most. He's got a great family structure. That's an unfair burden. And if they process that the wrong way, they don't get a redo?
No,
that's not right.
I agree.
That's just not right for the kid.
I agreed. And because it's almost old school in a way. Think about before technology, before the industrial age, and kids at 15, 16-year-olds, they go work on the farm or they go do whatever. They have to,
mm-hmm.
right? Because the family needs it.
Jeez, at age 15, you get married. You're working on the farm when you're 9.
You're right. And it's not that, obviously, because the value of the scholarship and all these other things that come. But that value of the scholarship and the training table and the tutors, that's realized by one person. To BT's point in the Shamari Pons example, that's realized by one person in a family of, what, 5 or so?
I mean,
immediate
family, yep.
You can't help but think about it. You know what I mean? When you're away.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Of course.
You can't help but think about it.
I'd be thinking about it.
Of course.
And you know what? When you get to a – it depends – this obviously depends upon where you live. But when you get to a certain point in life, depending upon what you do for a living, clearly – but, you know, when you're 17, 18, 19, $20,000, $30,000 seems like you're going to be set up for life.
Yeah, $50,000, right.
I'm good to go forever.
Yeah.
That's gone at a heartbeat, man.
No, right.
Especially if you're in the Northeast or certain mm-hmm. pockets like in the Bay Area, yep. you know, certain where real estate's really expensive and schooling. Now, certain areas, it obviously does carry more weight, clearly. But I've always had an inherent issue when decisions are made and the finances are placed above the bigger picture out of necessity.
Yeah.
And there's no recourse for miscalculation in that decision.
Yep.
That's why, I mean, I read this whole commission. You know, I know you were making notes. I was making notes. I mean, there are a multitude of things in here that really captured my spirit.
I
like
agree.
Just as a person.
Well,
this is good.
It's encouraging.
Common sense.
It feels for the first time in a long time, because there are some good things that come out of the NCAA, but this one. This one makes you feel like progress in the right direction is about to happen for the NCAA, and that is damn encouraging. You really it is. You look at the early declarations for the NBA draft this year, it's a record number of 236. Of that, there's 135 or so that are underclassmen. Mm. There's 60 draft positions, BT.
Yep.
60.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
that's a lot of kids who aren't getting jobs.
And a lot of the kids in the second round or a lot of those slots are viewed as like a European draft and stash. Mm-hmm. Let me get his rights.
Yep.
Let me keep him in Europe. He's not ready to come. He'll get some seasoning, put a few pounds on. So it's really not even 60 slots.
Right.
It's probably more like 52, 53, because they start ripping off names. There's no vowels in them.
No.
I don't even know who they are. And I do college basketball for a living. I'm like, who's this kid? You know? He's probably the next Dirk Nowitzki, but that's besides the point. All right, 1-855-212-4227. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. So the commission views the NCAA as toxic. You heard a couple of the bullet points Tiki and I ran through. Do you like what you heard? I'm sure you guys had a chance to read some of it on CBSSports.com. Let's get the calls humming. Are we naive? I mean, this was not planned. This is organic. Tiki and I are truly positive and have positivity about this, like a good feeling. Maybe you guys are reading it differently. You know, maybe we're the naive ones in the room. We'll get the calls going inbounds, out of bounds as well. We got Derwin James from Florida State. Could go top 10, probably more like top 10, 12, 15-ish. Great safety for the Seminoles. Obviously, the draft is tomorrow. Daniel Jeremiah as well for the NFL Network. A lot of hoops. A couple of pivotal game fives tonight. As we roll here on a Wednesday, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Okay, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. What's the occasion? Our boss, Eric Spitz, popping his head into the studio today. Oh, he must be dropping more work on me. That's exactly what just happened. By the way, so we had Sam Darnold on this week, Josh Rosen.
Mm-hmm.
We had him yesterday. He was outstanding.
Bradley Chubb.
I
think I like Bradley Chubb the most.
I'll tell you what.
Why? Because I'm picking him to go number one overall.
You know, the more I thought about that, I might actually drop that on Tops on our preview show tonight. 8 to 11 right here on CBS Sports Network.
You should have been on my radio tour with our great affiliates around the country because they kept asking me, and I kept talking about the fallacy of falling in love with a quarterback you don't know enough about.
Smart. The fallacy of falling. So you were on with Detroit. Who did you rap with today? Detroit?
Yeah, Detroit.
A little alliteration there.
Syracuse, I was in. South Carolina.
Boeheim was up in that house? Was Boeheim hosting?
Remember Boeheim asked me, remember the funny thing? Boeheim, he didn't do this on our interview. I wish he would have when we were at the Final Four. He's like, hey, Teague, tell me about Tom Coughlin. I was like, great. That's great fodder for radio. Why didn't you ask me then? Because he obviously knows Tom.
Oh, sure.
But it was on with Chris from South Carolina.
Okay, yeah.
Our buddy down that way.
Nice.
Your former boys.
Stoney. Stoney down in out of D, out of Detroit.
In Detroit.
What up, Stoney?
Told me to tell you what's up. So.
Great guy. Stoney's awesome.
Yeah, good tour. Good peeps. Miami as well.
We always talk about, you know, saving money for college. His daughter, who was born when I lived and worked in Detroit.
Get out of
here. 2001. I remember when she was born. She just got a full ride to Georgia.
Really?
Yeah, Stoney, who's an icon in Detroit.
The best way to
avoid Georgia.
That's the best way to avoid the 50 grand. Hey. Get a scholarship.
Forget about trying to throw a curveball lefty or you know, be a switch hit and catch with power. Right. I mean, we got to hop on a horse.
You're right. You know who I just found out has a full ride to Notre Dame?
For what sport?
Football.
Who's this?
Howard Cross's son.
That doesn't surprise me.
Howard
Cross's hands are.
His son is enormous.
Tight end?
He's a defensive end.
Oh, so he's got a little different kind of wiggle, a little more explosive. A
little bit. So I just found that out early in the week.
Nice.
It's kind of cool.
There you go.
He's still got another year in high school.
And he's already committed?
He's committed to Notre Dame.
Geez, you know he's good when he already locked. They locked him up. He hasn't played a snap as a senior.
Agreed.
Wow. So anyways, I was saying you want to get these interviews, whether it's Darnold, Rosen. We had Bradley Chubb on, obviously, yesterday. We'll have Derwin James later on today, who's a great safety from Florida State. Dak Prescott on Friday. Now, if you missed anything, just listen to past episodes. Go to radio.com, the app, which is very easy to navigate, or subscribe on the Apple Podcast or your favorite podcast app. Pretty easy. Just download the episodes of the Tiki and Tierney Show on the radio.com app, Apple Podcasts, or your favorite podcast app. It seems like a lot to digest, but if you're in the podcast world, as basically everybody is at this point, pretty basic stuff.
Yeah, go find it. All right. Really,
they'll find this.
Yeah.
1-855-212-4227. Let me read something for you real quick here, Teague. We'll get a couple calls, inbounds, out of bounds, Derwin James Hour 2, as I said. To me, this is a game changer. As I thumb through all these recommendations by the commission, The commission recommended 5-year postseason ban for the most serious NCAA Level 1 violations and loss of revenue during the span. Commission recommends lifetime bans for coaches who commit severe NCAA violations. You want to get serious?
Yep.
You want to end the nonsense? You want to police yourself? You want to finally have a reputable, somewhat pure product? Here's your chance. Embrace this.
I agree. And I think they should. I think they will, because it forces the NCAA organizations to force this upon their staffs. You know what I mean? So it's instead of leaving it to whoever is the investigator for the NCAA to find the bad things going on, it's now incumbent upon the athletic department
yep.
To internally police itself. There are also calls for the recertification of coaches every year to say that they're complying with this. So they, you know, there's no like, well, I didn't know it was, you know, that we were supposed to be doing this. I'm new to this organization, whatever. There's no out.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really the thing that you take away from this is that now for the first time, the NCAA will get help in policing these organizations because the school doesn't want to lose the revenue. And obviously the revenue from having a postseason ban is big, but there's also league revenues that are shared that they're also forfeiting. So if you're in the ACC and you commit a crime,
yep.
If there's, you know, a ton of a pot in the ACC pool
mm-hmm.
because of the success in the NCAA tournament, you don't participate.
Same with the bowls You're and
right.
everything for college football.
You're right.
Yeah, that's incentive enough. I
Agreed.
Mean, once you start taking money out of pockets
yep.
and – but the other thing it does too, and it does play – I'm happy that you illuminate that because that's an important part of this here. It places – now, it's an extra burden mm-hmm. on the school, but that's fine.
It's worth it.
No, there's no question. It changes the hiring process. And really, it you know, listen, let me just talk real for a second here. The ADs, anybody that's connected, I'll just stick to college basketball, although I'm sure college football mm-hmm. is the same way. Everybody knows who's crooked and who's not.
Yep.
And they've always known.
Yep.
Just like decision makers know who's a great X's and O's coach and ethical.
Yep.
Who's a guy who's okay with the grease board, but he knows how to grade players because he creatively cheats. Everybody knows. So if these were ever implemented and you're making the decision and residually you would pay the penalty if you employ a coach who commits a tier one violation, you're not going to hire that coach.
Nope.
And they already know.
Yep.
Who cheats.
Yes.
They don't say it.
Nope.
Because a lot of their guys cheat as well.
Yeah.
But it would really, I mean, it would be fascinating to me.
You know, and it would also create this, I guess, this new freshness. Because the one thing that I think this commission had to come up with was the way to make the NCAA and the NCAA organizations feel less seedy. Right, this FBI investigation and this ongoing NCAA investigation, it just makes college basketball feel seedy, right? And the only way to get rid of it is to go harsh, as hard as you can.
Mm-hmm.
The other side of this, which I really like, too, is that they state that colleges and universities, quote, must promise student-athletes that the option to receive an education will be there even after the athlete is finished with his athletic career. This will be expensive, but necessary to restore credibility to the phrase student-athlete. So if you go to play basketball at Duke, and after your second year, you say, you know what, I'm going to go to the NBA. And let's say you go to the NBA, and you break your ankle, and you get in an accident like Jay Williams from Duke, and you can never play again, but you haven't finished your degree.
Mm-hmm.
You can now go back and get a college degree.
How long do they have? Is there a time limit on that?
They didn't address it,
yep.
but they said, quote, this will be expensive, but it's worth it.
That seems unrealistic.
It does.
I don't see that getting passed.
I
like it. I like it.
I love it.
That
actually.
Just seems
this
unrealistic.
This is what John Calipari says he does. I don't know if he actually does.
I'm not going to say that he's not, but I'm not. I mean, if he says it, I'll believe him because you can prove that.
Agreed.
You could easily find the records
of
that.
Of course. But
I'll take him at his word.
It creates options
mm-hmm.
for student athletes. And right now, there's not a lot of options. To your point, BT, it's either I got to stay in school. Or I got to go to the NBA or go wherever to professional ranks. But now there's an option where you can potentially do both and still get a good education.
It's called neutral.
Yeah.
You're not necessarily, you don't have to go fast, don't have to go backwards.
You're right.
So let me just sit here for a second, sit idle, and see what's going on.
Yep.
Good stuff. Good discussion, Teak. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227, brought to you by GEICO. Great news. Quick way to save money, switch to GEICO. Just go to geico.com and in 15 minutes, save 15% or more on car insurance. Okay, here's what we got. Derwin James coming up next hour. By the way, Jaylen Brown, he's officially a star. We should probably throw that out there.
Yeah.
He's officially a star. We'll do a lot of hoops. Big one, couple of game fives tonight with two of the three game fives knotted up at two apiece. So we've got some real swing games, all sorts of stuff happening. Daniel Jeremiah, third hour, NFL Network. And also, who does have more pressure? Back to the NBA, LeBron or the Raptors? Interesting interpretation of those different series. But Axe update right now. After that, inbounds, out of bounds. Here's Rich. Okay, time to ask the pros, Teak. Give you a chance to ask us anything you want. Brought to you by our friends at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Just tweet us on CBS Sports Radio. Use the hashtag AskThePros. at CBS Sports Radio, hashtag Ask the Pros, and make sure you stick around and listen later on. Teak and I will answer the best one. Hey, think O'Reilly Auto Parts. All your car care needs, guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every single day. Know what I want to do? Because I don't know that I could do it. I want to experiment one show when there's not a lot going on.
Okay.
I want to see if I can do a show with my hands tied for a segment.
Tied?
Like, we're just...
Oh, yeah, I got
not,
you.
Not in a weird way, you freak. No, just like where I can't...
Yeah, I know, because you move so much.
I can't...
Sit still.
I just realized during that read how much I actually move around.
It's Italian in you, man.
It's weird.
You speak with your hands.
I'm shifting my chair while I'm mid-sentence.
You speak with your hands. I actually
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I end up doing it sometimes, too, actually.
Man.
I end up wanting to talk with my hands. Like, I was doing this on the radio tour that I was doing earlier this afternoon.
Yeah.
I'm sitting in a room. I'm literally in the control room by myself. So I'm just moving and talking. I'm like, what am I doing?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just you get expressive, even if nobody can see you being expressive with your hands.
I think that's why I have so many issues with golf, because it really requires such stationary,
calm.
At least during the pre-address and before you actually get going. I'm wiggling my hands.
Your mind
God,
is moving too
map.
Much, even though your body shouldn't be.
Mm-hmm. Mind's always moving.
Yeah.
Mind is always moving. We got Derwin James coming up next hour. Former Florida State safety Daniel Jeremiah, the NFL Network reporter, hour three. More pressure, the Raps or the LeBron James-led Cavaliers? We got some good hoops tonight. Right now we got some good inbounds, out of bounds. You ready to roll?
Yeah, let's go.
Okay.
Anything can happen in sports, and often does. What's right, what's wrong, and who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and Out of Bounds now. With Tiki and Tierney.
All right, Tiki, here we go. First up, Seattle Seahawks head coach Pete Carroll, just one of three coaches in football history to win a Super Bowl and an NCAA championship as well. Barry Switzer did that, Jimmy Johnson as well. However, two former Seattle stars, Michael Bennett and Richard Sherman, both have recently said Carroll's shtick a little over the top and a little bit too collegiate, with Bennett going as far as saying that he would bring books into the meetings and actually read to avoid hearing the stories. Yesterday, it was Pete Carroll's turn to fire back.
Mike never brought a book to a meeting, I'll tell you that. And the thing I would tell you about that is we've been through a lot around here, and we've grown tremendously together and all that, and changes are inevitable. You know, and sometimes, you know, you guys can't hang with what, you know, what's expected for one reason or another, their growth, their development and all that. And the best thing I can tell you is that they're not here.
Ooh, zing. Mm. Zingage. Wow. All right,
taking
coach.
It personal.
Pace. He ain't getting old. He's still got that spunk.
66, man.
And he still projects pretty youthfully.
He does.
He does.
He does.
Although when he coached my team, we lost every game in December and we collapsed with the Jets. His 1 year with us. In or out, Pete Carroll's fun collegiate persona has run its course, and he's lost the Seahawks locker room.
This is out of bounds. It's an overused, I don't know, cliche. He's lost the locker room. You know what loses the locker room? Losing. Loses the locker room. And guys getting old causes losing. The Seattle Seahawks defense in particular got really old really quickly, and that's why there's a lot of turnover. You can, you know, after the fact, point to this and that and the other thing. That were most probably minor. The fact that he tells the same story over and over again and it's collegiate, it's probably a minor thing.
Mm-hmm.
But when you leave and you're disgruntled, it becomes a major thing. It's just nonsense that he's losing the locker room. What would help him keep the locker room? Winning and drafting well, which we'll find out tomorrow.
That's true. And of course, the next couple of days after that with seven rounds. As long as Russell Wilson's still following his lead, really all that matters.
I agree.
Mean, listen, to me, this is Richard Sherman, probably more so than Bennett, because he plays a speed position, mm-hmm. ruptured Achilles, going to be a tough comeback. He's very outspoken. So is Bennett, but not in a bombastic way. He's got a strong message,
yeah.
But Sherman's got a different delivery style, as we know. I think this is their own internal rationalizations as to why the team doesn't really need him anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what happens. It's like a conveyor belt. And once you get near the end, it doesn't matter who you are. You know, you got out before they could do this to you.
You're falling off.
Boom.
Yeah. You look.
Boom.
We think of the image of a conveyor belt. It goes and it wraps around eventually, just like a treadmill. It wraps around. When you get to the end,
you're not
standing upside down going back around and coming back. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You fall off. And so.
Yeah.
That's what happens.
And I think they need to feel a little bit better about some diminished skill and different circumstances. So I'm with you. I'm going to stay out of bounds here as well.
Are you in or are you out?
Okay, it's a good one here. I'm curious how we answer this. Miami Heat center Hassan Whiteside, a little frustrated. The 76ers, Teague and I both said they would win that game and move on. They did. They closed it out like a veteran team did, by the way, which is good to see for their...
Even though they shot very poorly in the fourth period.
Yep, but still, I like that they came out and they just they dropped the hammer for the most part. Now, Whiteside averaged 15 minutes a game in the series. That's about 10 less than he did during the regular... A little more than 10, actually, than he did during the regular season. And he made it known he wasn't happy about it. Quote, at least give me a chance to fight. I can understand if I was playing 30 minutes a night and I played poorly. At least give me a chance. Okay. In or out. It was a mistake by Eric Spoelstra only to play Whiteside 15 minutes a game in this series.
This is going to be out of bounds for me. And the reason being, I like Hassan Whiteside as a player, but he's traditional. He's big. He's 67 feet tall. He's 270 pounds or 65 pounds or whatever he is. And he is a compromised perimeter defender. And so when he was tasked with checking Joel Embiid would be pushed out past the free throw line, Joel Embiid, who's not a ball handler, would put the ball on the court and go by him.
Joel Embiid played the first two games of the series?
No, he did, but you know what I mean. So
just ask him.
It's even worse.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Without Embiid, he still didn't play big minutes.
But it's even worse. Because now you're out there on Ilyasova. And Ilyasova,
Yeah, but then he has to guard you. But go ahead, finish.
I agree. But I think when you look at as Eric Spoelstra probably looked at his game plan, and he had to make a decision. Mm-hmm. Where am I going to be deficient? Because he's going to be deficient somewhere. Mm-hmm. Is it going to be on the offensive side where I can, you know, rely on Dwayne Wade and some of my shooters, Dragic, et cetera? Mm-hmm. Or am I going to be deficient on the defensive side? He chose not to be deficient on the defensive side because Hassan Whiteside can't defend who he was going to have to defend from the Philadelphia 76ers, who all can play around the edges and make shots from out there.
Oh, boy, this is a tough one. And you make a lot of sense on this. And, you know, I could probably be in a position where I can allow my mind to co-sign that. But mm-hmm. I'm going to disagree, and I'm going to say that it was a mistake here.
Go ahead.
I think it was a mistake in this sense because, well, first of all, I want to give Spoelstra credit because for you to marginalize a guy who's got $24 million coming to him next season mm-hmm. guaranteed and $27 million the year after that, you're coaching to win. You're not worrying about the bigger picture. A lot of teams get sucked into that.
Good point.
So I want to give him and Pat Riley a lot of credit for allowing him the latitude to do that.
Very good point.
Thank you, Tiki. I appreciate that, buddy. Now, the other thing is he was a diminished player this year. His numbers were off the, you know, whether it's blocking shots, the stats that really reflect how engaged he is, the rebounds, and because he's not a shooter, mm-hmm. The energy stats were down. However, I'm going to say inbounds because I think that there's only, you know, The 76ers just walked into this series with a lot of mismatches that they owned.
No doubt.
Just based on the personnel. Yeah. And I would have liked to have seen more sequences where Spoelstra tried to get Brown to react to what he was doing rather than the other way around.
That makes sense.
Again, I'm nitpicking. Yeah. Because I'm not a huge Hassan Whiteside guy, not against Philly.
So in a series where you knew you were outgunned
mm-hmm.
and just out-personneled, you might as well get creative.
And playoffs are all about adjustments.
No, you're right.
I'm not saying I know more than Spoelstra. I certainly don't. Maybe one more adjustment. Even if it's for 3 minutes, kick the tires. I didn't see it. I would say inbounds on this.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, Teak. We love this guy. Friend of the show. Cubs outfielder, Masher.
Schwarbs.
Lost some weight this year.
Dude, he looks felt, dude.
Pretty good. Schwarbsy. Kyle Schwarber went yard twice last night against the Tribe. Number 5 and number 6 of the season. Got you 63 at-bats.
I know.
It's like basically Babe Ruth ratio, actually better. Anyway, that puts Schwarber right now on pace to hit nearly 50 home runs if he plays an entire season. So, in or out, Schwarber will hit at least 45 big ones.
And bounds, man, even if it's wishful thinking. I like Schwarber. He came in here. He was awesome. He's a baseball player.
He's also a football player.
He was a football player. I think that's why
linebacker.
That's why I really like him. But he's the kind of guy that if he can stay healthy, you know he can be valuable. Look at his batting average. Last year it was like it was below the Mendoza line. Here he is sitting, hitting 300 with six home runs, which is probably second or third, I think, in the National League right now in home runs. So he's mashing it, and I think if he stays healthy, he's definitely getting 45.
I love this kid. You know, and listen, what he did, and it is worth repeating, when you shatter your knee, when your knee explodes first couple of weeks of the season, and you basically go away for 5 or 6 months, and you step into a batter's box, and there's red, white, and blue bunting, and it's not opening day, but it's reflective of October, and you're facing 98, 99, sliders, cutters, changeups. His hand-eye coordination, he's like a Jedi.
Yeah.
I mean, he is special. What
he's basically saying is when the Cubs won the World Series, he basically did it all with upper body.
I mean, it's amazing what he did. And he was hitting them hard, too. However, let's stay out of bounds here. I'm going to say out of bounds. He's got easy power, but I mean, 45 home runs is a lot. I know it's not the 80s where, you know, maybe Gorman Thomas or Mike Schmidt would lead the league with 38 or 39, Reggie with 39 or 40. But 45 still a lot for a young man who's, you know, juggling around the batting order, juggling around position-wise, never played more than 120 games. I'm going to say out, but he could hit 320 or 325. Anyway, he cut it. We love him. I just think he's going to hit a few home runs.
Samter, you heard that. When he hits 45, I want you to call him into studio. We'll get him back on and play this clip and say, BT didn't believe in you, but
I'll be
did.
The bad guy. Hey, I drafted him 3 years ago on my fantasy team, so I believed in Schwarber.
And then he tore his ACL on April 7th.
Yeah, but that wasn't the year that I drafted him, guys.
He did all right. Are you in or are you out?
All right, Matt Harvey. I also, for some reason, dopily drafted him on my fantasy team. Very late, don't worry, this year. Very late. Came out of the bullpen last night, first time. Didn't exactly go very well. Sound the horn again? How did he pitch? Not that good. Two innings, two hits, a walk, an earned run. Mets, although they did win, Jay Bruce going yard, dead center, bombed it about 20 feet over the fence. After the game, though, the former Dark Knight didn't want to talk about it, refusing to meet the media. Inbounds or out of bounds, Harvey refusing to meet the media is a worse look than his nearly six ERA this season.
No, this is out of bounds, man. It's okay to have an off night where you don't want to talk to the media. I get that. But when you are supposed to be a repeated Cy Young candidate, you have stuff that's amazing, and 5 years in, 5 years in, you're damn near at six on the ERA meter? That's much worse than not talking to the media for a night. So, out of bounds.
Good God, I couldn't disagree more. This is clearly in bounds. I'm gonna weigh the merits of Giancarlo Stanton, who got booed when he whiffed five times at the stadium, okay? And he stood in front of his locker, and he took dagger after dagger after dagger. Didn't lose his cool, remained calm, answered every question. Matt Harvey came across as petulant. Matt Harvey came across as self-serving. Matt Harvey was not a pro. Listen, I'm not saying that he's got to be doing somersaults, that he's been demoted there. But there was another story, too. He was, and I read about this. I didn't see this because it was in the pregame. But some of the Met beat reporters said he was kind of wandering around during pregame stretching, like by himself.
He doesn't know what to do as a bullpen.
Well, you better figure it out, dude, because you're getting raked right now. You suck. So figure it out. I mean, Matt Harvey's always been about Matt Harvey.
I love it.
He's got to answer questions. He's had enough of a time to compartmentalize the demotion and give an intelligent, measured answer. It's a weak move by Matt Harvey.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, Teak. How about this? Now, Major League Baseball Commissioner Rob Manfred addressed the media. He was in Toronto and, among other things, discussed the early feedback and effectiveness with the new pace of play rules, including limited mound visits and shorter inning commercial breaks. Here he is.
I am positive about them because they've been effective. We are way down in terms of mound visits, I think down about 50%, and our inning breaks are significantly shorter, and I take both of those as positives in an ongoing effort to make sure that we're producing an entertainment product with as little dead time as possible.
All right, there you go, Teak. Inbounds or out of bounds. The new pace of play rules have made a noticeable difference in viewing this season.
The operative word being noticeable difference, so I'm saying out of bounds. This is not like this game was finished in under 3 hours and it's a record finish time. This is, does it feel like you're watching paint dry? Do I noticeably feel like I'm not watching paint dry? The answer is no. So this is out of bounds, even though it may be. faster than watching paint dry.
I'm going to plead ignorance on this in a way. I'm going to say out of bounds, but the reasoning behind that is, listen, there's never a night where there's not baseball on in my home. I mean, obviously, I watch the Yanks every night. I always check in on the Mets every night.
And I tend to be in a MLB Network, actually.
I was going to say, and I always check in on our friends at the MLB Network with the cut-ins and do a phenomenal job. The stars come up to play, whether it's Harper, Nolan Arenado, whomever it is, Mike Trout. If they can do it, boom, you get the at-bat. So I because I'm juggling so much with the NBA playoffs,
don't know,
Masters, you know, that whole weekend where I watched almost every shot of golf, I really haven't watched many baseball games, if any, yet this year.
Start to finish,
1 through 9.
Yeah, I hear you.
It's been parachute in, go back to TNT, watch the hoops. Parachute in, go back to NBA, you know, NBA TV. Parachute in, go back to wherever. So ABC. So I don't know, but. We'll find out soon enough, right? And I like the initiative, so he's a good... I like Manfred.
Tune in next time for another edition of Inbounds or Out of Bounds with Tiki and Tierney.
Oh, you went high. I think you just hit somebody in the side
of
the head.
That actually hurt, too. And I didn't lift. That's not the excuse.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news... You call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.